أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين؟ أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين؟ صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين؟ أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين؟
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم.
Allah تبارك وتعالى says that He did not create man and jinn except for the purpose of worship. And many, many times you have heard that worship does not mean that we make our salat, give our zakat, fast in Ramadan, go for Hajj. Those are the faraiz, those are the pillars of Islam. But as far as ibadat is concerned, it is the fulfillment of the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Anything that the person does within the framework of the Quran and the Sunnah for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become ibadat. If the person does anything that is not sanctioned by Sharia, not sanctioned by the Quran and Sunnah, then no matter how beautiful it may appear, but it is not ibadat. So Sharia did not leave out anything which was necessary, which was important, which a person was going to face during his lifetime, or he was going to be confronted with, or he had to be engaged in something in his lifetime. Anything which was of goodness to him, which would have benefited him, Shariat has discussed it. And anything that would have harmed him, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned the ummah regarding that. It is a perfect deen, a complete balanced deen. So one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which some time back I think we may have discussed, but it is very relevant to our times. And that is the purpose of these ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Quranic verses, that we should repeatedly read them, repeatedly understand them, and practice upon it. Just listening, no matter how many times we listen, is not sufficient until the person does not get into action. One day we were traveling north coast, so the person's car in which we were traveling, because the seat belt was not tied, so it kept making choo 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 that sound, which was very irritating, but it carried on. So the driver said that because the seat belt is not tied, therefore it will go on and on until the person ties his seat belt. So I said, we take a lesson from that. They say, why do the ulama go on and on telling us the same thing? But we will go on saying it until everybody makes amal on it. When we have 100% people making namaz, then we don't have to talk about 5 times namaz. That brothers, please, must make namaz 5 times, because everybody is making 100%. When everybody will fast, when everybody will stay away from stealing, from gambling, from fornication, from adultery, from cinemas and theatres and discos and rave clubs, if everybody is staying away from there, so then there will be no need to go on and on. But we know that not even 5% or 10% of the ummah is making amal. So that choo 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 will carry on. We'll have to keep on listening until the seat belt is not tied. Until we don't tie our seat belts, we will have to go on listening. So it is a very relevant hadith sharif. And which hadith sharif is not relevant? But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala, he says, I asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, man najat. Now look at their concern. Our concern, we will ask anybody and everybody who has got some kind of cure for arthritis, if we are suffering from arthritis. And we'll ask anybody and everybody who has got some kind of solution or some kind of cure for cancer, or the person is suffering from any other kind of illness, then he will look for somebody to give him some kind of solution to that problem. And there's nothing wrong with it. We are living in a world of means. So for the physical body also, if the person is ill, he is sick, and he needs a solution to his problem, so then he can ask, he can find out, there's nothing wrong. Then the person who has got some kind of business concern or business problem, or he's got some receiver of revenue problem, so then he will look for anyone who has got some kind of knowledge about how he can evade tax, or how he can come out the legal route or illegal route. But the thing is that the person is going to ask. The person is going to keep on finding out. He wants a solution to his problem. In other words, he wants najat. He wants salvation. He wants to come out of it. That is the reason why he's asking. The person who's got a child and the child is not making progress in the school because of some defect, so that person is going to ask those people who have got those kind of children who are handicapped, that how can my child make progress? And there's nothing wrong with it. The person must help and assist in such cases. So there's nothing wrong. But what I'm saying is this, that look at the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een, that they were concerned about najat, complete najat, in this world and in the akhirat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also understood their questions fully well. And therefore the prescription he gave was something that was beneficial for the person, both in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirah. Any prescription of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course we will find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addressed every individual who came to him according to his need. Someone, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw that the person has got a temper problem. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked for some advice, then he would say, well, don't get angry. Somebody else, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, will tell him something else. Now that was for the individual. But even that which he told to the individual will apply to the entire mankind. Now if he said, for example, to that individual sahabi, la taghzab, don't get angry. So now that doesn't mean that it was only for him. All the rest of the people can get angry as much as they wish to. and give vent to the anger. The anger is natural, it will come. But what he meant was the control of the anger, the management of the anger. Nowadays we talk about management. So the management of that anger. So everybody will be faced in his lifetime with some kind of anger. Now how he's going to manage it, how he's going to control it. So this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he asked that what is the road to salvation? How can I get najat? How can I get salvation? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Amlik alayka lisanak. The first thing he mentioned is that you must be in full control of your tongue. That's what it really means. How we say that that person is Malik and he's got a ghulam. Those days there was slavery, there was a master and there was a servant or a slave. So we say that this master, he owns this slave. Those slaves had no rights. The master owned the slave. So by way of explanation, that is what it means, that this tongue, we must become the masters. We must become the one who is controlling the tongue. It must be in full control. The person must not use his tongue incorrectly. Most of the problems that are caused in society, nations, international communities, is because of the usage of the tongue, or the wrong usage of the tongue. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the tongue must be controlled. Now he says that is where najat is. Man samata faqat naja. The person who remains silent, he will get najat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the people, something that will take them to Jannat, or most of, or the major cause of entry into Jannat, is going to be taqwa. When the person has got taqwa, and he's got good akhlaq, he's got good character, and he's got fear and khawf of Allah Ta'ala, then this is something that will give him entry into Jannat. Most of the people will go into Jannat because of that. And something that will lead people into the fire of Jahannam, or the major cause, is going to be the abuse of the tongue. And the person is indulging in fornication or adultery. So these are the things that will lead the person to the fire of Jahannam. There are so many ahadiths, and we have discussed this many a times. Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned 20 things or 20 harms of the tongue. President Bush and Blair, they had to go into Iraq to search for the weapons of mass destruction, and they didn't find any. But the real weapon of mass destruction is the tongue. That is the real weapon of mass destruction. One statement that president makes, look at the destruction that it causes. All he has to say is fire, bomb, destroy. Now just one word from the mouth. And look at the destruction that it causes. How many bombs rain upon Iraq and Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan. All kinds of bombs, and what kind of destruction they caused. But just one word from the commander-in-chief, fire, that's all. So which is the weapon of mass destruction? The tongue is the weapon of mass destruction. It is a very, very powerful weapon. And the power of it that is also more than all the other parts of the body. The eye does not have that power. The ear does not have that power. The nose does not have that power. The hands and feet don't have that power that the tongue has. So it is a weapon of mass destruction also. And at the same time, it is a weapon of good construction. Both things. One side, it is a weapon of mass destruction, and that same tongue can be for good construction. That same tongue we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the person who was a disbeliever for 100 years also, But just one statement from the tongue, and the person has become a Muslim, he has become a believer in Allah Ta'ala. And with that same tongue, he makes one statement of disbelief, and he is out of the pale of Islam. With the same tongue, he says, Nakahtuha, Qabiltuha, and he accepts the woman in his marriage. So that woman who was a total stranger now became his wife. And that which was haram for him prior to the nikah now became halal for him. Just with the tongue, one statement. And again in anger again the person made talaq, 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 finished. Statement. Again that weapon of mass destruction. Look at how many homes have been destroyed just with that same tongue. How many homes have been destroyed? Just in anger the person gave talaq and finished, marriage has ended. So the person can use the tongue for such good purposes, and he can also use it for evil purposes. Backbiting, cursing, swearing, or uses the tongue for false oaths and qasams, false promises, lies. How many evil things this tongue can be used for. And the same tongue can be used for tilawat of the Quran Sharif. The same tongue can be used to unite and reconcile. That same tongue can be used for waaz, for nasihat, for tafsir of the Quran Sharif, for commentary of the Hadith Sharif. That same tongue for zikrullah. That same tongue for so many good purposes the person can use. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if you want najat, if you want salvation, so then the control of the tongue. You must be malik. Amlika alayka lisana. Think before you speak. We just go on without thinking for a moment that what will this statement of ours do to the heart of the people that we are talking to. Whether they are customers, clients, wife, children, parents, neighbors, Muslims or non-Muslims. When we become angry, then we just don't even think for a moment the type of statements that we are making. How it slices the hearts of the people. And it creates such kind of enmity, hatred and dislike for the person. Whereas that same tongue, the speech was good, then it will create such kind of muhabbat in the heart of the person. It will attract the person. It will make that person love. It will make that person sacrifice after that for that friend, or for that husband, or for that wife, or for those children. Because the speech was such that there was attraction in it. It was magnetic. It was attractive. It was beautiful. It was sweet. Just that speech, the same thing. And on the other hand, if it is a speech which is hurtful, then it distances the person. This is that akhlaq that I've been talking about for the past couple of months now. That we are unconcerned. And then when we want to patch up, it becomes too late. Because it is said that the wound that a person suffers because of, say, stabbing, or somebody used a knife or any kind of instrument and hurt the person, so that wound can heal after some treatment, some bandage, some plaster and some kind of ointment and medication, then the scars also disappear. But those scars which come on the heart because of that speech of the person, which was hurtful, lifelong sometimes it doesn't heal. You will forgive like that, you will say, I forgive. The person says, forgive me, say, okay, I forgive you. But the scar is there, you will not be able to remove them. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, being rahmatul lil alameen, he said, what you should do if you want najat, if you want salvation, is that control your tongue. First thing. Hazrat Muaz radiallahu ta'ala One day he was sitting in a masjid, right in the front saf, close to the wall, silent. So one sahabi walked in and asked him, that what is this? Why are you sitting here so silently? So he said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that it is better to remain silent than engage in kind of speech which is evil. And it is better to engage in good talk, nasihat, waaz, or any good speech, than to remain silent. And to remain alone, it is better than being in bad company. And to be in good company is better than being alone. So therefore I am sitting here. But they had control over their tongues, because they realized that this tongue can cause great damage, and it doesn't heal very quickly too after that. So the first thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was, Amlik alayka lisanak wal yasa'aka baytu. And I mentioned that this Hadith Sharif is very relevant to our times, because it is the time of Christmas, it is the time of holidays, it is the time of New Year, it is the time of vacations, and it is the time of travel. It is a time when people are free. It is a time when people are relaxed. It is a time when people are on holiday. Factories have closed, shops have closed, schools have closed, colleges have closed, universities have closed. Everything seems to have closed. But what has really opened are all the doors of shaitani fitnas. Everything else has closed. Schools, colleges, universities, shops, businesses, factories, many have closed. But all kinds of doors of fitnas are open during the vacation. Every kind of fitna that you can think of, the doors are wide open. And the person now has got the time, and he does not know how to pass that time. So he will go and get caught in some fitna or the other. Now don't misunderstand me. I don't say you must not travel out during the holidays, or you must not visit, or you must not take the family and go and have some picnic somewhere. No such thing. Shariat, as I said, is very, very balanced. I am talking about those places of fitna, those institutions of fitna. So everything seems to have closed. Schools, colleges, everybody is on holiday, everybody seems to be free, or most of the people. So at such a time now, these doors of fitnas which are wide open, they are going to attract the person. One door will say, enter me. Another door will say, enter me. Another door will say, enter me. Now it just depends on that person, what kind of company he keeps, and what kind of khawf-e-khuda he has, or what kind of tarbiyah was made, or how strong his nafs is, how strong shaitan's influence is over him, or how strong is deen and sharia and Quran and sunnah in his life. So it will depend on that. Either he will enter those doors, or he will stay far away from those doors. That is the reason why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, wal yasa'aka baytuk, which in essence means that stick to your homes. We call the multazam, multazam, because there we go and attach ourselves. So like that here also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that attach yourselves. Let your home be spacious for you. Make your home spacious. That means no matter what kind of a home a person has, but if he has got taqwa in him, if he's got Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's muhabbat and khawf in him, both things go together, then even that little shack of his, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him spaciousness, because that spaciousness is coming in his heart now. Even if, because it's every person in the world cannot have big bungalows and mansions and everything else. There will be many poor people who will not be able to afford even more 2 rooms. But when this person is going to have taqwa in him, he's got to have piety in him, he's going to have khawf and muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala in him, then when he's going to remain in that little home of his, he will still find peace and he'll find spaciousness, which people with big mansions and palaces do not find, because of the restlessness of their hearts. But the reason why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that stick to your homes is that these fitnas will otherwise catch you. And you say you want najat, because the sahabi said man najat. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving him prescription for najat. So during these days of vacation and holidays and when people are relaxed and when they've got all the time in the world, so at such a time it's very important to remember this Hadith Sharif, that if we are going out, then we must make sure that we are only going to places where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are not displeased with. The person is going to meet a family member, or the person is going to enjoy some natural scenery and beauty of the mountains and ocean or jungles. There's nothing wrong with that. But the moment shaitan and nafs pulls in some other direction, then the person says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, amantu billahi wa rusuli, and stays far away from it. For example, the person is now traveling out. He's got very good niyat that I'm going out, I'm going to visit some family members, or I'm going to go for seeing some tourist attraction which may be permissible to go to. But now when he is there, he's going to use some kind of hotel services. Now when he's alone in that hotel, now shaitan and nafs will come, that you're on holiday and nobody is watching you here now. So at that time, the person, he realizes that Allah Ta'ala is watching. جو کرتا ہے تو چھپ کے اہلِ جہاں سے کوئی دیکھتا ہے تجھے آسمان سے. How many young people, they got caught up, and not young, only old people, men, women, children, got caught on the television in the hotel rooms, and they started watching porn and all other kind of filth. How many were caught out? All the people got caught in adultery, in fornication, listening to music and all kinds of other haram. So you can see by going out of the house, now the person got caught in fitnas. So it was not haram to go out. It was not haram. But what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving as prescription is where the person will be saved from the fitnas, where there will be protection from the fitnas. And if a person has really got ta'alluq ma'allah, and if he's got muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, then he looks for seclusion. It is just due to necessity of life that the person has to go out, and he has to go to work, he has to go to other places, he has to go and visit, and he has to do everything. He has to go to the hospital, he has to go to the airport, he has got to go for Hajj, he's got to go for Umrah, he's got to go for so many other things. The person has got to visit his family, he's got to go to college, university, school. But otherwise, the person who's got ta'alluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he is extremely happy in his own home. If he can help it, he will tell somebody, put one lock from outside and go. One person, one Allah wala, he was always wanting seclusion. Of course, this doesn't mean we must do the same thing. He was always wanting seclusion. He didn't like people to visit him also. In his own way, he was an ibadat guzar, he was Allah wala. But he had no wife, children and all that, so therefore, that was his life. One day one person came and came to meet him, so he sat. He sat and he sat and he never got up. Took a long time. So he went inside and he brought his title deeds for the house. And he gave that visitor the title deed. He said, what is this title deed all about? You know, it seems like you want to occupy my house, so you keep the title deed now. So he said, you keep the title deed, because it doesn't look like you want to move from here. There was one person who was very sick. And when we go to visit the sick person, then we must not sit so long that the person becomes more sick. Some of us sit so long that he becomes more sick. Or at least will make the family sick. Because sometimes whole groups have come and now they're sitting in the house all the time. So it makes the people sick. So the visit to the sick must be brief. Unless the person is a family member with whom they've got great attachment and they will feel happy if you sit longer. then it is a different issue. There are adab of everything. So this person went and he sat and he sat again. He's not getting up. So after some time, the sick person told him, he said, close that door. But only thing, go outside and close it. Don't close to me. He said, go outside and then close the door. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, stick to your homes. So in these times of fitna, if we are going to stay in our homes, then our children will also be with us. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hikmat. Of course there are deeni necessities, there are works of deen that are taking place and we have to participate, and there are other requirements that a person has to fulfill. But if a person is not going to be with his children during the holidays, he is going to be somewhere else, then the children are also going to disappear and we won't even know where they have gone and which fitnas they are caught in. How many young girls have left their homes and they gone? Parents are shedding tears of blood, but it's too late. And where did they lose them? During the holidays. They allowed them to just go freely wherever they wish to. They said, we're just going pavilion, we're going musgrave, we're going somewhere here or somewhere there with friends, and next thing they were gone. How many cases we deal with? So the person has to spend quality time. We keep saying quality time. He has to spend quality time with his children. If he's not going to do that, he's going to lose his children. How is he going to make tarbiyah of the children if he's going to be out all the time? So go out. Nobody says you must not go out. But here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that if you want najat, then go out if it is necessary. Unnecessarily now the person is going to the shopping complexes, and during these times of fitnas, souq in Arabic means marketplace, bazaar. But we're not talking about any particular souq, any marketplace, any bazaar. If the person is going to go to such kind of souqs or bazaars or marketplaces without really requiring anything, he's just going for the fun of it or to pass time. Look at the number of fitnas that the person will get caught in. Number of fitnas. In the souq, he will start going looking at the saq. Maulana understands what this is. Saq in Arabic means thigh. Now, how many fitnas is going to get caught? And then again, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wisdom, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hikmah, and his beautiful advice. Now the person is going, for example, to a huge shopping complex, but he doesn't need anything, and he doesn't even have that kind of money in his pocket that he can buy everything that he sees there. Now look at the rahmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now if this person wanted onions, potatoes, or he wanted a pair of shoe, or he wanted some kind of shirt or something, or clothes, now he went, he purchased that and he returned home, it's over. But now he is going to pass time. So from the morning till the evening, they say you must come to the bazaars. Now the person is going around and is watching. Now 1 minute he saw something, his heart is burning high, I wish I had this. Next thing he saw, beautiful cell phone. Now his cell phone is of a much cheaper quality. Now he looked at all the range. He doesn't have the money and he doesn't want to buy it too. But now looking at the range, hi, I wish I had this one. Then he went to the car showrooms. Beautiful, beautiful cars there. Now he can't afford a good bicycle, but now he's going to look for cars. 1 minute he's looking at the Rolls Royce, 1 minute the Mercedes Benz, 1 minute some other car. Now all the time, hi, 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 hi. Hi and sigh, in that the person's death comes. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does not want us to burn our hearts for nothing. He wants us to enjoy sukoon. For this jam'iyyat of qalb, the awliya-i kiram made so much of effort. And we have lost that sukoon of the heart. The more we bring into the heart the outside world, the more we are going to lose that sukoon of the heart. When the heart is already filled with so much of outside things, so much of wealth of the world, then where are we going to have place for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's muhabbat? Once again, don't misunderstand. Gold, silver, good home, good clothes, good car is not dunya. But when it diverts the person's attention from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it becomes dunya. And now this is what is happening, that the person is being diverted. The remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is forgotten. One minute he is casting lustful glances, next minute he is looking at all those things and making hi-hi. And then sometimes he is purchasing those things which are not supposed to be purchased. Then there is israf that comes in. So many things will come in. So to go unnecessarily, the person is going to get caught up in different kinds of fitnas. So at that time, go to some nice place where there is no fitna, with your children, with the family. There will be more bonding, there will be more unity, there will be more communication, because the whole year round sometimes we don't have the time to communicate. We go away 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, we come back 7 at night. So there's no communication. And when we return also, then switch on the TV and now get glued there, the person has got no communication. So if there is a holiday now, then there must be some communication. It's not just staring at the faces. And many a time the person just wants to run away out of his house, because there's World War 3, 4 and 5 all going on there. So he just wants to disappear. So now this is the ideal time for communication. One person got married after many years knowing the girl, and he was courting also, and then he married her. And after some time now, then the person says, Maulana, we two are on different wavelengths. There's no communication because we are on different wavelengths. So I said, bhai, if you are on a very high wavelength, then come little down. Come on her wavelength. Why talk on that wavelength where she can't understand you or communicate with you? Come on to the same wavelength. So it's a time that the person can communicate. We can discuss this small little hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from different angles. But the time is limited. Let's take in the third one. And then inshallah some other time we'll discuss it again. So then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Wabki ala khatiyatik. And the third thing is cry over your mistakes, over your sins, over your weakness, over your shortcomings. Then shed tears of repentance, remorse and regret. Do these three things, he said. Control your tongue. Make your home spacious. That means stay in your home as much as you can. But if the person is staying inside his home also, he is not going out, but he has brought all the outside fitnas into his home, then too he will never get sukoon. Now the whole purpose of staying within the home was so that the person now reads some good literature, or listen to good tapes, listen to qiraat, listen to naats, nazam, nasheed, listen to nice good programs. There's so many now that is available. Talk with the family, talk with the children, or do something constructive. Do gardening if you can't do anything else. Or do something, but occupy yourself. But now the person has brought all the fitnas from the outside inside. All the filthy magazines, the filthy novels, and the filthy films and everything. Now he's got inside his house. So then that house has already become a bazaar now. That house has become a bazaar. Where is he going to get peace now? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that now the third thing is that cry over your sins. Now this is something you will find in the life of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Right from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he shed tears, and how much of tears he shed we can't even imagine. And that too, he didn't commit any sin. It was just an error of judgment. And the only desire there was to remain in Jannat forever and ever. And he was told that if you eat that fruit, then you will remain in Jannat forever. And that's why he ate it. So that means it was an error of judgment. He was misled by Shaitan. But how much of tears he shed over that. And all the other Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, how much of tears they shed. And yet they were masoom, sinless, protected by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, rahmatul lil alameen, khatamun nabiyin, jameelo mein ajmal, sharifo mein ashraf, kamilo mein akmal, tajdar e madina, ahmad e mujtaba, muhammad mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But look at the tears that he sheds. Masoom, sinless Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had said, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ زَمْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. There was no sin, but just to give him satisfaction, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assured him, everything is for you. Yet how much of istighfar he is making and how much of tears he is shedding. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to ask Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, who had the secrets of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to the munafiqeen. So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who is already given the assurance that you are from the ashram mubashara, so 10 people and many others were given to, but he was told that you are a jannati. But he's asking him quietly, secretly. He says, Huzaifa, did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mention anything about me being a munafiq? When he said this to Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala began to cry. And why did he start weeping? He started weeping that if Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who has been assured Jannat, if he is so concerned, then why should I not be more concerned than him? And yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's giving Hazrat Huzaifa that list, it was a clear indication that he's not in that list. He gave him a list. So if he was a munafiq, would he have given him the list? But look at that khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is very merciful, very forgiving. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pakad and grift and seizure can also be very, very severe. So they were concerned. Therefore he is crying. Look at the number of ahadis. Different sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu majma'in. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, goes to the graveyard. When the grave is in front of him, he says, they never saw him shed more tears than when he was at the graveside. Now, wasn't he assured of Jannat? So that is for us. They were all blessed people. But we who engage and indulge in so many different kinds of sins day and night, how much of tears of repentance we should shed. We shouldn't lose hope in Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Like Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, Ghalib, he made the people despair of Allah Ta'ala's mercy when he said, Tum kis muh se Kaaba jaoge, Ghalib, sharm tumko magar nahi aati. He said, oh Ghalib, how are you going to go to Kaaba Sharif? You want to go for Hajj, you want to go for Umrah, or you want to go to the Kaaba Sharif? How can you go to the Kaaba Sharif? Sharm tumko magar nahi aati. Don't you feel ashamed how much of sins you have committed and now you want to go to the Kaaba Sharif? So Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that he has made people despair in this poetry. And he changed it. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga, sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga, sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. Ro ro ke unko manaunga, apni bigdi yun banaunga. Ro ro ke unko manaunga, apni bigdi yun banaunga. He said, I will go with the same face. What are you talking about being ashamed? I'm going to go with the same face to the Kaaba Sharif. Sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. But what will I do there? I will shed tears of remorse and regret and shame that, Ya Allah, I have come with bundles of sin, with oceans of sin, with mountains of sin. But you have called me to the Kaaba Sharif. And what is the coming to Makkatul Mukarrama is for? But for forgiveness of sins. That the person everywhere he is told, make dua, make dua, make dua. And what is that dua? So he says, I will ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness of my sins. And this is how I will make amends and I will change my life. And then I will come back from there, in other words, a different person, a changed person, a reformed person. But if I'm going to say that I'm not going to go there because I'm sinful, then how am I going to get forgiveness of my sins? It is that same example which you have heard 120 times now, that if a person is standing at the shore of the ocean and his clothes are dirty, his body is dirty, he's got urine and stool and blood and all kinds of filth on his clothes and body, and now he addresses the ocean and says that, oh, you beautiful waters of the ocean, how clean and park and pure you are. If I have to come into you, then you will also get dirty. Therefore, I don't wish to dive into you. So will this person ever come clean in his life? So the ocean will tell him, oh, you stupid, you foolish, you mad one. Millions like you dived into my waters and they all came clean and park, and my water is still park. So take the plunge, take the dive and see how I clean you too. So like that, we will take the dive, we will take the plunge into the waters or into the ocean of forgiveness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Millions have been forgiven for their sins when they sincerely repented. They made up their minds, we're not going to return to those sins. And if it's rights of people, they made up their minds, we are going to fulfill those rights. If it is estate properties, they will make sure that we return to whomsoever whatever is due. If it's debts and qarz and loans, then they will pay back, or at least make arrangement, extension of time. But they will not evade it. And for the future, they make up the intention that we are not going to return. Allah Ta'ala will forgive the past. Then accidentally again he committed sins, that is a different thing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, cry over the sins. Do these three things and you will get najat. You will get salvation. Salvation in this world too, because you will be protected from the fitnas. The fitnas which are pouring. It is like that time has come which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had predicted, where fitnas will come down. Like how this tasbih, if you have to pick it up and snap the cord, then the beads will come one after the other, one after the other. Like that, fitnas are coming and people are not even sometimes aware that they are caught in a very, very big fitna. Some of the fitnas are given the beautiful coloring of deen and sharia and Quran and sunnah. They are presented in the garb of deen and yet they are fitnas, major fitnas. So at such a time, this person who is making amal on this hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he will be protected from those fitnas. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us happiness in this world also, not only in the akhirat. Akhirat is for the believers. But even this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created everything for the believer. If there is no believer left in this world, there's nobody to say Allah, Allah Ta'ala will destroy the whole universe. So what do we conclude from? If Allah Ta'ala is going to destroy the whole universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets and everything else, nothing will be left the day nobody says Allah. So what does that mean then? That Allah Ta'ala had created the whole thing for the benefit of the believer. Those who are disbelieving, they are merely enjoying it. As tufailis, they say. Because of the believer, they are enjoying it. Otherwise, there will be nothing. Therefore, whenever there is fasad or fitnas or destruction and everything that takes place, it is because of the actions of the believers. The actions of the believers. When they go up, they bring different kinds of reaction. Good amal go up, then we get good reaction. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah the tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala protect us from all the fitnas. May Allah ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya akramal akramin, ya ghiyasal mustaghithin. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, compassionate, loving, caring Allah, most beneficent, most merciful Allah, most tolerant Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my most beautiful Allah, forgive each and every one of us. We are extremely sinful servants of yours. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, we use the great ni'mat of sight for your disobedience, the great ni'mat of hearing and speech for your disobedience, our hands and feet for your disobedience, our heart and mind for your disobedience. We use so much of our wealth for your disobedience. My beloved Allah, but who is there for us besides you? There is no one that we can turn towards for forgiveness of our sins besides you, my beloved Allah. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Tere Allah, tere siwa koi hamara sahara nahi. There is no one for us besides you. If you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness because of our sins, then my beloved Allah, we will be totally destroyed. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. We are not justifying any of our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mere Allah hamare gunahon ko mat dekh. Don't look at our sins anymore, my Allah. If you have to look at our sin, we will be destroyed. Ya Allah, we acknowledge that we have committed so much of sins that if you have to order the earth to open up and swallow each and every one of us, it will be justified. If you have to send gale force winds against us, it will be justified. If you have to send flood waters against us, it will be justified. But Ya Allah, we also know that you don't like punishment. You don't like, my beloved Allah, to destroy or to punish. You dearly love forgiveness. Ya Allah, therefore we are seeking total forgiveness. Ya Allah, bless us all with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. Those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa from all ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Ya Allah, whether they are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes or amongst us, bless them with complete shifa. So many have undergone operations, so many have met up with accidents. Ya Allah, bless them with complete shifa. And those who have passed away, bless them with complete maghfirat. Ya Allah, fill the graves with noor. Give them high stages in Jannat. And give their family members kith and kin sabre jameel ajre azim. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plenty for halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who have left for Hajj, Ya Allah, make their Hajj easy. Make it maqbool, make it mabroor. Ya Allah, accept the tawaf, the ziyarat, the ibadat. Mere Allah, those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Those who are weak, give them strength. My beloved Allah, so many parents are shedding tears. Children have gone on to drinks and drugs and wine and women and all kinds of evils. My beloved Allah, bring those children back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. It is not difficult for you, my Allah, to give hidayat and give guidance to the parents to bring the children up in the proper Islamic manner. Give us the himmat and courage of lions against our nafs. My beloved Allah, give us the courage of lions against our nafs. We have to die one day. We have to leave this world one day. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, rave club, popping drugs in our mouth, watching some filthy movie on a porn site of the internet or some filthy magazine. We don't know when the angel of death is going to strike. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with death in Madina Tayyibah, with burial in Baqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our time. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, and ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made du'as. All his life he made sacrifices for the ummah. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us. And the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey mere Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships of the Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, there were so much of attractions and distractions, but they left all that and they came to listen to a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, good aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problem, the diseases, sicknesses that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you is undergoing. With your fazal, with your ihsan, with your kindness, remove their pain, suffering, their hardship, their pain, their problems, their sicknesses and diseases. Ere Allah, ہم سب کو اپنا بنا لے اور ہمارا بن جا. اگر ایک تو نہیں میرا تو کوئی شے نہیں میری, جو تو میرا تو سب میرا. تو میرا تو سب, فلک میرا زمین, کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں. وہ ہو جائے میرا, میں ہو جاؤں اس کا, یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا انك انت التواب. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا مولانا محمد وآله وصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.